God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. And thank you, Dawson, for your leading in songs this morning. It has been a pleasure to be here so far to worship our God. And no matter what you went through this week, God is good. I want you to hear that truth. God is good. So it is a joy and an honor to worship with you all up here. I think I comment on it every time. I love the drive. I have a question this morning. Any boys ages 6 to 13 stand up this morning? Okay. Man, fine young gentlemen. I have a question. I don't feel like standing up here this morning, so could one of you come up front and just... I have my notes here, you could just maybe read them. Any volunteers? It's a great volunteer. I feel like having you do it. You may sit back down. I have a story this morning where we're going to look at a little boy. A young boy. I don't know his age. And his impact that he had on many people. So, the boys of you who stood, I don't know if you view yourself as capable, but I'm sure there is something we could learn from you. We're not going to do that this morning, but I would like us to observe one boy's life, one boy's lunch. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Here we have a common story of a young boy and a little lunch that he gave to his master. A little background for this. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. If you page back in the first couple chapters of John, we see Jesus choosing his disciples. We see him performing miracles. And as Jesus was performing miracles, what do you think the people did? Their jaws dropped. They said, wow. They wanted to see miracle after miracle. So of course, if we would hear of this, we would want to know more. We would maybe press the subscribe button to follow, to hear more stories about what Jesus would be doing. So we have here a crowd of people following Jesus. And in John chapter 6, he actually crossed the sea. And guess what? The crowd still followed him. They were intent on seeing, observing what Jesus was doing. John chapter 6 verse 2, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. That's why they were following him, is because of the miracles. So Jesus went up into a mountain and sat there with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, so I don't know if Jesus intended to get away by himself with his disciples, but he lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come unto him. And this was after he had been speaking for quite a while. Go back to John chapter 5. And there's a lot of people around. And when there's a lot of people sitting for a long period of time, what happens? They get hungry and they get thirsty. Oh, trust me, I know at school, comes close to lunchtime, I got a bunch of hungry people. And he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus observed their physical need of needing food. This he said to prove himself, for he himself knew what he would do. It's an intriguing verse there. Jesus already knew why he was asking the question, because he knew what was coming. But he wanted to invite everybody into what was about to happen. Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So Philip, thinking this through, he says, Jesus, we don't even have enough to feed all these people. There's not even enough money to do that. And besides the point, show me where we can buy some food. They were out in the middle of nowhere. Philip said, Jesus, think logically. It's not possible. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, here's a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many people? I wish there was more background to that verse. I don't know how Andrew was connected with the little boy. But I am sure of this, that the disciples did not go around holding the people by their collars, "Hey, dump out your lunches." I'm convinced that the boy somehow made a connection with Andrew and said, "Here's my lunch. Take it. It's small." So it started with a young boy believing that his little lunch could make a difference in the multitude. But he needed Jesus to do it. He couldn't do it himself. So he gives it to Andrew somehow. Andrew brings it to Jesus and says, "Here, I don't know how this is going to work, but this is what the boy offered." So Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000 people. I mean, humanly speaking, split up the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You're not even at a bite. You're barely a crumb. Not even that. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes. And when they were filled, he said, "Gather up the fragments." And guess what? There's 12 baskets left over. A little boy's lunch made the difference in a crowd of people. Why? I have a couple questions this morning. So if Jesus uses little lunches to impact a multitude of people, what's your little lunch? Is your little lunch really gonna make a difference? How do you give your lunch? Figuratively speaking. How do you give your lunch to Jesus? With what attitude do you bring your little lunch to Jesus? And another question, are you rewarded for giving your little lunch to Jesus? What's your reward? Was this little boy rewarded? Was he recognized for giving his little lunch to Jesus? I'm inviting you in on something I've been learning recently. Lately, I've been a little immobilized by seeing needs around me. Does that ever happen to you? You see the needs? How? Where do I even start? With the hurricane just happening recently down south, you see the devastation. Where do you even start? How can I even start to make a difference? There was a situation where I've been involved in recently where a young child had a traumatic past. And in speaking with some counselors and people who work with situations, it's common. Where do I even start in making a difference? How can we help? So lately I've been immobilized with asking the question, how do I even help? In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to the church at Philadelphia, and he said, "I have set before thee an open door." So the church at Philadelphia, he's speaking to them, he says, "Church of Philadelphia, I've opened a door for you to allow me to work." Why? Because you have lots of money. Because, no. He goes on to say, "Because you have a little strength." So I don't need to have much to go through the open doors that Jesus puts before me. All that matters is I have a little strength. That's what Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia. I'm using the term, what lunch can you give? But it's figurative for what will you give to Jesus? Not a literal lunch. It might be that. But what can you give to Jesus for his kingdom? Let me ask it like this. When we talk about having our daily devotions or spending time in prayer, have you ever felt guilt for not spending more time? I see some nods. You ever feel that guilt? I have. In talking about that, I look back at this past week and said, I could have done better. I was introduced to something. Instead of feeling guilt or shame for not having devotions or giving more, whether that be monetary or time, we should be asking, how much can I give? So instead of feeling guilt and shame for the past, looking forward, ask the question, how much can I give? So this morning I've entitled the message, how many lunches can I give? And I want us to see our lives as building blocks. So we give with abandon. I want us to see our lives as building blocks. So we give with abandon. So I ask the question, how many lunches can I give? Now come with me. We're going to take some lunch lessons from this little boy. What are some lunch lessons we can learn? First off, I'm convinced if we ask the question, how many lunches can I give? It needs to start with our best lunch. Now there's times at our house where I'll be in the kitchen and my wife is baking up something nice. It's smelling good. Might be my favorite oatmeal raisin cookies or oatmeal whoopie pies or a cake. So, oh, I'm excited for this. Sometimes she looks at me a little sheepishly. Well, I'm making to give to Bryant or give to somebody else. Oh, man, really? I thought you were making that for me. That's my best lunch. I better be willing to give it away. Often there's a little leftover. I bring you the first lesson this morning as, are you giving your best lunch? In other words, are you giving your first fruits? Or are you just giving the excess that you don't need? The clothes that you're done with? The money that's left over? A sad fact is that evangelical Christians give only 2% of what's coming in. Now, we all know tithe as 10%. I hope that that is the case for us. That our first fruits are being given. And then what's left over, we use for us. The first lunch lesson I see in this boy is he gave his best. I'm convinced that's all he had. Because if he had more, I think he would have given more. But all he had was a lunch. And I don't know the background. I don't know if he packed his own lunch or if he was going to follow Jesus or see Jesus that day and his mom packed the lunch for him and said, hey, here's something for you to eat. I don't know the background. But this I know is that the only thing he had to eat, he passed on. He gave his best. If we are to give our little lunches to Jesus, it needs to be our best. Our first fruits, not just our excess. Do you give your best lunch? Next thing I see. This lunch that the boy gave was very little. Do you ever ask yourself, well, what difference is my little gift gonna make? I ask that. The size of the gift doesn't matter. The size of the gift doesn't matter. And we see that vividly portrayed when we go with Jesus to the temple. And he there watching in the center there. I think they had a place for all the tithes and offerings to be dropped in. And as they're watching this, the disciples are in awe. The rich guys are coming in and getting everybody's attention, clearing the throats and dropping in their heavy sacks of coins. And then we see a little widow come in the side and just drop one little coin in. And Jesus stops and said, disciples, look at that lady. She's given more than all the others. Why? Because she gave everything. The size of the gift doesn't matter. The boy could have said, you know what, I'm just going to eat my lunch because I might as well get full. It's not going to make a difference in other people. But he knew that God would multiply things. Here's a truth, and when we give little lunches, Do you know that God multiplies it? Often way more than we can ever imagine. So the little things that we do, the things that we give, the things that we say, though they might be small, God multiplies them. And you can see again and again if you go through the stories of how God has worked in the past. I hope there's stories in your life where God has multiplied things. A little lunch is all we need to give. The size of the gift doesn't matter. That's lesson number two. Lesson number three. I'm convinced that this boy, this little lad, gave his little lunch and his attitude was in the right place. He gave it lovingly. Our lunch should be given lovingly, not taking our 10%. Part with it. Well, God says I have to, so. No, our attitude of our lunches, the lunches that we give, is what matters. I'm convinced this little boy offered his lunch. He had faith that Jesus could do something more with it. The thing that matters about our gifts, our little lunches that we give, is our attitude. Do you give it willingly? Or do you give it out of a sense of duty? Sometimes when I give my gift, I look around at what other people give, and that's not good. Because don't compare. Jesus calls us to give differently. Observe with me. Remember that rich young ruler who ran up to Jesus and said, "Hey, what must I do to enter heaven? I'm following all the rules." What did Jesus tell him to give? All that he had. So Jesus turns to the young ruler and says, "All right, so all that you have." He knew the young ruler was too focused on his possessions. And the only way forward was for him to release it all. Zacchaeus. Jesus meets with Zacchaeus and they sit in his house. And Jesus sits down with him and says, "All right, Zacchaeus, I want you to give all that you got." Is that what happened? Zacchaeus gave half. Man, Jesus, make it easy. Like, do I give half? Do I give all? Do I give 10%? Jump with me to Paul when he was on his missionary journeys. Remember the lady named Lydia? Yep. Paul went to Lydia and he said, "All right, Lydia, Jesus told the young ruler to give all that he had, so you probably should too." No. Lydia actually kept everything she had, but used her house to serve the church. Yet they're all in the Bible. So there is no one straightforward gift size to compare. My point is this. Give your lunch lovingly. Your attitude, your willingness to give just a little lunch is what matters. Don't look around at other people and compare. You got to ask God what He wants you to give. That's lesson number three. Now, lesson number four. What's our reward for the lunch? After verse 9, where it says, where Andrew's brings the lunch to Jesus and says, "All right, this lunch was given from a little lad." Do we hear of the little lad ever again? I don't think we do. So what reward did he have? I think his sole reward was to sit back. Imagine as a little boy and be like, "Wow. Watch the 12 extra baskets being taken away. That was my lunch." The satisfaction of being involved in God's work like that is the only reward he had. But I'm convinced his reward was coming later. Do you ever see those pictures of organizations giving large chunks of money to other organizations? What's often on the picture? A big check. So-and-so gave $2 million. Picture with it. Is that the reward we get for our lunches? That is what we as humans want. We want to be recognized. But no, Jesus calls us to a different way of giving. He says, "You will not see your reward in the moment. Your reward comes later. Your reward is in the satisfaction of sitting back and seeing God use your lunch." We don't even know the boy's name. But yet, his lunch made a difference. And let me say this. Sometimes I, and I think we, get the idea that our giving is a way to earn our place into heaven. Do you ever kind of mentally shift there? That is a wrong place to shift to. We do not give to earn our place into heaven. Salvation is by grace. And I want us to hear that and believe that this morning. Being saved is Jesus dying on the cross and believing in that and living in that. What is giving? Because in 1 Corinthians 3, it says we're going to be judged for our works. So we scratch our heads about that. This is what I believe. We believe in Jesus, we are saved. And because we observe what Jesus has done for us, what does that cause us to do? To give back. So if I continually go back to the cross and observe what Jesus has done for me, I want to give back to Jesus. So therefore, giving is not out of duty, but rather out of a desire to give back to Jesus. That is the reward. The reward not to earn our way into heaven, but rather a desire to give back to Jesus. We need to check our heart and motives when we give our little gifts. Do not seek a reward. It's out of a desire to give back. There's a verse, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I tell you what, when you are in the receiving end of something, you say, it feels weird sometimes. How do I do? How do I receive this? But when you give, the joy that comes. So give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We need to give our best lunches. We need to give our little lunch. The size of the gift doesn't matter. We need to give our lunch lovingly. Our attitude of willingness is what matters most. And don't seek a reward. Give out of a desire to give back to what Jesus has done for you. I referenced 1 Corinthians 3. In there it talks about somebody plants the seeds, somebody waters. And then he goes on to talk about a building and a foundation. And it talks about how Jesus laid the foundation. But every man's work is going to build on that foundation. So this, brothers and sisters, when we choose to give our gifts, to give our lunches, to give our best lunches, to remember that it's not the size of the gift, but the little lunches that matter, we soon start building on the foundation that Jesus laid before. And I have a question. These are two Jenga blocks. Anybody want to come play the game with me? Could you list the differences between these two blocks? What differences do you see? Location and space, they're at different places. Not many. They actually look pretty similar. If I was to put them behind my back and bring out, all right, was this the left one or the right one? You probably wouldn't know. Brothers and sisters, this is how Jesus looks at the little gifts that we are putting into his kingdom. He sees no difference. Whether it was the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, whether it's the $2 million, whether it's the coffee, whether it's the $20 into the gas tank, use it all the same. He wants us to give. Come with me to the dorm, the college dorm of Helen Roosevelt. She was a young girl in an English college. She was studying one day and she heard a knock on her door. And she opened the door, and there was another young girl she recognized from one of her classes. Said, "Hey, would you want to come with me to coffee?" She was kind of surprised. "Sure, I'll go with you." And so they went down, and they just started chatting. Just about life. They were kind of getting to the end, and Helen stops and says, "Okay, why'd you bring me out here?" "Oh, I just want to tell you about my Jesus." And she proceeded to give her testimony. In response to that, Helen Rosevere gave her heart to the Lord. And because of that, she wanted to give back to Jesus. And she was in the medical field. How many recognize the name Helen Rosevere? It was a new name for me. But if you look her up, she went to Africa and started many hospitals. And she points back to that one little coffee date that started the journey she was on. One little coffee. One little lunch that student gave. And this is her testimony. "God never uses a person greatly until he has wounded him deeply." This is Helen speaking. "The privilege he offers to you is greater than the price you have to pay. The privilege is greater than the price." So brothers and sisters, what difference are you making? What little lunches are you giving? Our work is building the kingdom of God. And if you look through the Bible, what God's intent is to fill the earth with people who, what? Look like him. Who honor him. Is that true of your life? Is that true in the way you give? So, which is more important in a family setting? Is it mom or is it dad? Moms, you're at home. You're taking care of the children, the babies, staying up at night. That's pretty hard. But I don't know, dads, they have it pretty hard too. They have to go to work, sweating and sweating. Feels like drops of blood some days. Is that more difficult? Is that where the real purpose is? Or maybe it's singles. No, they have the hard work. They don't have a family. They have more ways to give than families do. By the way, I think we as families should really focus on our singles. Our Anabaptist culture really focuses in on marriage and sometimes idolizes that. Let's be there for our singles. Maybe it's occupation. You know what? Which is more important? The construction worker or the computer programmer or the taxidermist? Maybe it's the school teacher or the siding guy. Which is more important? Neither of them are. Sometimes we lift different occupations to different levels. God views it like this. So what's your little lunches that you're giving on a daily basis? Which is more important? Is it the message? Is it the Sunday school teacher? Is it the guy running sound? Is it the guy who turned on the lights? They all come together. So brothers and sisters, what I want you to know, what I want you to hear this morning is that your little gifts that you are giving to others make a difference. They are building blocks. I want us to get that mental picture this morning. They are building blocks in the kingdom. I'm going to wrap up here with a quote from C.S. Lewis. "We are not living to get to heaven as a reward, but wanting to act in a certain way because a faint gleam of heaven is already inside of you." So when you become immobile, when you think somebody else will do it, maybe I'm intrigued by the woman who came in and washed Jesus' feet. Typically it was the servants. Yet nobody in that household washed Jesus' feet. They all thought somebody else would do it. So a woman came in and dumped her precious ointment on his feet. The others, I guess, were immobile. So when you have a tendency to become immobile, what does my little lunch do? I want you to return to see what you've been given. And when we return and see what God has done for us, that builds the desire in us to give our little lunches, our best lunches, our little lunches, lovingly, not expecting a reward. That's when we start being a building block in the kingdom. So, how many lunches are you going to give? How many lunches can I give? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that we can gather this morning and worship you. And my heart's prayer, our heart's prayer, is that you would again show us, that we would again see what you've done for us, so that we can build in us a desire to give back to you and give our little lunches to impact your kingdom and let you grow it and let you do with it as you would. Help us to seek you and ask you what you would have us to give. I pray that you would bless us and the remainder of the service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.